Title: Break Clarity in Dense Arrangements for Jungle Rollers Advanced. Alright, today we're going deep on a problem that hits almost every serious jungle roller. The break is doing everything. It's your groove, your momentum, your grit, your swing, the movement around the base, and then you stack sub, Reese, pads, FX, extra tops, and suddenly the break smears out. The transients soften, the snare stops speaking, and the whole loop feels like it slipped behind the track. The goal of this lesson is simple: crystal clear breaks in dense arrangements without thinning the vibe. And we're doing it with a repeatable workflow in Ableton Live, mostly stock devices. We'll make a frequency plan, manage transients, place things properly in mid and side, and set sidechain priorities so the bass moves around the break instead of sitting on it. Let's set this up so decisions are fast. First, session prep. Group your tracks into four main groups: break for all break layers, drums one shots for any extra kicks, snares, hats, rides, percussion, then bass, and music for pads, stabs, atmos, whatever. Put utility on each group. On the bass group, make sure the low end is mono. A good target is everything below around 120 Hz living dead center. We'll do width moves later in a more controlled way. And gain stage, leave headroom. You want roughly minus 6 dB on the master while you're mixing, so you're not fighting the limiter and fooling yourself. Now step 1. Choose rolls for your break layers. This is where a lot of advanced mixes still go wrong. People grab one legendary break and expect it to provide groove, low punch, snare crack, hat sparkle, stereo width, and texture all at the same time. In a dense roller, that's asking for blur. Instead, aim for two or three layers with clear jobs. Layer 1 is break core. That's the groove plus mid punch. It's the body language of the track. Layer 2 is an air layer. That's your top fizz and brightness, usually high passed and maybe distorted. And layer 3, optional but powerful, is a transient anchor, a tiny snare crack or kick tick that acts like a beacon so the ear can track the backbeat in a wall of sound. Put each layer on its own track inside the break group. Then do a quick phase and alignment reality check. If your low mid punch gets hollow when you blend layers, try flipping polarity on one layer with utility's phase invert. And here's an advanced clarity trick: micro timing. If your transient anchor lands even a few milliseconds late compared to the break snare, you get a flam. That flam reads as blurry, even if the EQ is perfect. Nudge the transient layer earlier by about 5 to 15 milliseconds, using track delay or by adjusting clip start. Often, having the click arrive just slightly before the noisy body makes the break feel more forward without turning it up. Now step 2, clean the break intelligently with EQ8, and I want to frame this like a coach. Treat the break as a transient plus noise plus tone problem, not one loop. When the mix gets crowded, you usually lose one of three things: the initial attack spike, the upper mid bite that lets you read the rhythm, or the separation between snare body and bass harmonics. So don't start by boosting 10 kHz. That's the classic mistake. Start by removing overlap and identifying what's masking what. Put EQ8 on each break layer, not just on the group. On the break core, start with a high pass, 24 dB per octave, somewhere around 30 to 45 Hz. That's rumble control, not vibe removal. If it's boxy, dip around 200 to 350 Hz by 2 to 5 dB with a moderate Q, around 1.2-ish. If cymbals are harsh, a small dip around 7 to 10 kHz can help, but don't overdo it yet. On the air layer, high pass harder, 24 dB per octave, somewhere between 250 and 600 Hz. The point is, this layer should not compete with snare body or bass harmonics. Then, if you need shine, a gentle shelf up at 8 to 12 kHz, maybe plus 2 to 5 dB. On the break group, optionally do a small wide dip where bass lives, around 80 to 160 Hz, just 1 to 3 dB. Wide Q. The philosophy is, let your kick and bass own the weight and let the break own the movement and the read. Now, important, don't EQ in solo and call it done. Turn on the spectrum in EQ8. Yes, but also listen in full context. If the break disappears only when bass hits, that's usually not an EQ problem on the break. That's a priority and masking problem on the bass or music. We're going there next. Quick extra coach move: the masking audit. On the break group EQ8, create a narrow bell, crank it up like plus 10 dB, set Q around 8 to 12, and slowly sweep from about 120 Hz up to 4 kHz while the full mix plays. Wherever the break suddenly feels clearer, that's a zone being occupied by bass or music. The pro move is, don't boost the break there. Reduce that zone on the competing group, or duck it dynamically during key hits. Now step 3. McTranscience audible in a crowded mix with Drumboss and Saturator. In dense rollers, break clarity is mostly transient contrast. If you rely on volume, you end up with a break that's too loud, too bright, and still somehow not clear. So we shape the envelope and add harmonics on the break core track. At Drumboss, drive somewhere between 5 and 20. Push it until the break starts speaking. Then transient, plus 10 to plus 35. This is one of the biggest instant clarity controls in stock Ableton. Boom, be careful. Off and off if you already have bass doing the low work. If you use it, keep it subtle and tune it to complement the kick, commonly around 50 to 70 HC in drum and bass contexts. After Drumboss, add Saturator. Use soft sine or analog clip. Drive 1 to 6 dB. Turn on soft clip. You're listening for edge and audibility without raising peak level too much. This is also part of the forward at lower fader level strategy. You can keep the break fader lower, but it still reads. If transient boosting makes things spitty, don't panic. We'll control the cymbal wash in a later step with a DS-style move. Now step 4. Control peaks without flattening the groove with glue compressor. Overcompressing breaks kills shuffle. You want stabilization, not destruction. On the break group, add glue compressor. Set attack between 10 and 30 milliseconds so the transient gets through. Release around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, or just use auto. Ratio around 2 to 1. Go to 4 to 1 only if the loop is really wild. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on the louder hits, and turn on soft clip and glue. It helps keep the break forward without you pushing the channel too hard. If you need more control, do it in two gentle stages. A little compression on the break core track, then a little on the group, rather than one heavy clamp. Now step 5, sidechain priorities. Bass should move around the break. This is huge in rollers. Bass often masks the snare by around 150 to 250 HC and the readability around 1 to 3 KHC. If the bass owns those zones full time, you will never get break clarity back by boosting highs. You'll just make it harsh. Option A, simple and fast. On the bass group, add compressor. Enable sidechain, and feed it from your break core or your snare anchor track. Set ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack very fast, like 0.5 to 5 ms. Release 30 to 80 ms, fast enough to groove. Duck just 1 to 4 dB. Subtle. The idea is make room on hits, not pump the whole bass line. Option B. More surgical using multiband dynamics like a fake dynamic EQ. Put multiband dynamics on the bass group. Set band splits so low is up to about 120 HC, mid is roughly 120 HC to 2.5 KHC, adjust depending on your bass. We want the mid band to compress when the break hits, while the sub stays consistent. Enable sidechain and multiband dynamics, feed it from break core or snare. Lower the mid threshold until you see about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on snare hits. This keeps the bass huge, but stops it from sitting on your snare shape. And here's an advanced extension. Sidechain the music too, not just the bass. Pads and stabs love to smear 1 to 3 KHC. Put a compressor on the music group, keyed from break core or snare, and do tiny reduction, half a dB to 2 dB. It's often the difference between the break is buried and the break is driving. Now step 6. Manage cymbal wash with a DNS style approach. Dense jungle gets messy from constant hat and cymbal energy. You want excitement, but controlled sizzle. On the break group, add multiband dynamics. Focus on the high band, something like 6 KHC and up. Set it to compress gently. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 ms. Release 50 to 120 ms. Adjust threshold so it grabs only when harsh spikes happen. The goal is not to darken the break. The goal is only tuck when it bites. Static EQ dips can work, like a small cut around 7 to 9 KHC, but dynamic control usually keeps the groove more alive. Now step 7. Mid/side placement. This is where you can make the break feel big without clogging the center that needs to be reserved for kick, snare, and bass. On the break group, try utility width around 110 to 140%. Don't overdo it. For real control, use EQ8 in M/S mode. On the side channel, high pass around 150 to 300 HC to remove low mid stereo mud. That mud is a big reason breaks feel blurry. Then, if you want, a gentle shelf boost on the sides around 8 to 12 KHC, maybe plus 1 to 3 dB for airy width. On the mid channel, keep the 150 to 250 HE zone stable so snare body stays strong. And please do a mono check early, especially if you widen the break. Put utility on the break group and map a macro to switch width to 0% for a moment. If the snare vanishes in mono, you widened the wrong layer. Typically, keep the core more centered and let the air or noise layer provide width. Now step 8, arrangement moves that maintain clarity over time. Even a perfect processing chain can lose the fight if the arrangement never breathes. Clarity drops are often arrangement collisions, not mix issues. Mark that exact bar where your break falls back. Usually it's when a new mid-bass comes in, a pad opens up, or an FX riser adds constant top. Fix the newcomer first instead of pushing the break. Try a 16-bar phrasing approach. Bars 1 through 8, full break plus bass. Bar 9, drop hats or the air layer for one bar. That contrast makes the ear relock. Then bars 10 through 16, bring it back and add a small ghost fill. A couple classic jungle moves that add excitement without just adding density. Ghost snare tail. Duplicate a snare hit at very low velocity a 16th after the main snare. Really quiet. It adds motion and clarity. Micro fill. Last half bar, a reversed snare into the downbeat. Density switching. Alternate between full break and break core only every 8 bars. These readability resets make the break feel clearer when everything returns. Now step 9. Master context check. Do not mix breaks in solo. For checking only, put a limiter on the master. Set ceiling to -1 dB. Push into it until it's loudish, but not crushed. This is just a translation check. Now listen at low monitoring level. Can you still hear snare articulation? Listen very low. Does the groove remain? Then back the limiter off or remove it once you're done checking. Before we wrap, quick common mistakes to avoid. Overcompressing the break bus. It kills swing and makes the loop feel small. Boosting 10kHz to fix everything. You get harshness and masking still wins in the mids. Letting bass own 150 to 300hz permanently. That's where snare shape often lives. Too much stereo low mid. Wide mud equals blur. And no transient anchor. Relying on a noisy break alone can fail the moment the arrangement stacks up. Now let's lock this in with a mini practice exercise. Your goal is to make a classic break audible over a heavy rolling bass without turning it up. Load one break loop, like an A-minish or tight funk break. Add sub-bass plus a Reese mid-bass. Add a simple pad or stab. Group into break, bass, music. On break core, EQ 8 high pass at 35hz. This audio version is shortened for playback.